From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Vijay Bhaskar, a trustee of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. Sri Vijay Bhaskar came to Bhagwan's fold at the tender age of 11. He later joined Bhagwan's Brindavan College in the year 1974 for his bachelor's degree and got his master's degree from the Bangalore University, graduating with gold medals in both the programs. Subsequently, as per the divine command, he joined the Reserve Bank of India and retired as an executive director of RBI in 2016. He was also appointed by Bhagwan as convener of the Sri Sathya Sai Trust Maharashtra and currently is a trustee of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust here in Prashanti Nilayam. In this talk, he narrates some of the most beautiful and tender moments with Bhagwan he has had as a student of Bhagwan's college. This talk was delivered in Dharmakshetra, Mumbai, as a part of the Samarpan program that was held on the Aradhana Day, that is 24th of April in 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners, interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs sung by Swami students from the album Streams of Bliss, produced by the Sri Sathya Sai Media Division here in Prashanti Nilayam. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. With that, over to Sri Vijay Bhaskar.
Most humble pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. I stand in front of you on this thrice blessed day. Today is thrice blessed day in the sense that today is the Mahasamadhi day, which we are actually observing as the Aradhana day. Today is also, as the brothers have said, today is also the Samarpan day and coincidentally happens to be the first anniversary of the Samarpan Karikrams which we have started in Dharmakshetra a year ago. Brothers and sisters, 5 years ago, on this day, Swami chose to leave his mortal coil. I happened to be working in Bangalore at that time. I reached Bangalore, I reached Prashanti Nilayam towards the afternoon. And the scenes and the emotions and the way in which devotees reacted there is something which is etched in my memory, which I shall not forget for a lifetime. And I take it, in fact, when Brother Siddharth was speaking to me last month, I was telling that since I am traveling, I will try and be a participant in this Samarpan Karyakram in April. Little did I know that I will have to speak on this day, which happens to be Swami's Mahasamadhi Day, which we are observing as the Aradhana Day. I take it as Swami's will and Swami's sankalpa that I should share some of my thoughts and some of my experiences with you on this blessed day. On the Mahasamadhi day, one of the most overriding or the overwhelming feelings among the majority of the devotees has been a sense of having been orphaned. Swami has left us. Swami has gone to a distant place. Swami is in his heavenly abode, Vaikuntha or Kailasa, what have you. And that there is an extreme pain in one's heart. We feel a sense of void in one's heart. And this was the overriding feeling. Why, as late as in the last 90th birthday celebrations, myself and Naren Ramji were sitting side by side in the Hillview Stadium. And in front of us, Sri Srinivasan of TVS Group was sitting. Some discussion, some conversation took place about Swami. One of the things which Srinivasan, mind you, Srinivasan is a devotee whom Swami has blessed in n number of ways. He is a very familiar place in Prashanti Nilayam of the TVS Group. He said, so many people say so many things about Swami's departure, but in one respect, I really miss Swami. Mind you, a devotee of his standing, a devotee of his proximity, a devotee who was so close to Bhagwan, saying that I really feel that earlier, whenever I had any trouble, whenever I had any problem, I used to come to Swami, catch hold of his hand and tell Swami, "Romba kashtama irukkudhu. It's become very difficult. I cannot carry on like this. You help me out. So that hand which I could hold, the shoulder on which I could lean, is something which I am missing. This in a way sums up the feelings of the general run of all of us, a majority of devotees. But I also have seen in a few devotees who are spiritually more advanced, saying that Swami has asked us to get ourselves promoted from a Sakara form of worship to a Nirakara form of worship. But the overwhelming thought, overwhelming feeling among the majority of we devotees was that Swami has left us high and dry, that He has left us for a far-off place. In fact, a few snippets in the Samarpan Karyakrams which have been shown provided us an answer. But I would like to place before you, in Swami's own words, what are the words which are most soothing, which are most assuring and reassuring and comforting on this day of Samarpan, when all of us have mixed feelings about Swami, depending upon our own equation and our own spiritual maturity. One day in 1974, I just joined Vrindavan. I was a couple of months old in Vrindavan. That Vrindavan which I am talking of 1970s is completely different from the Vrindavan of today. I will try and come to it a little later. I distinctly remember this for what Swami has told, and I thought that is the first thing which I need to share with all of us, all of you, as to what Swami has said. Dr. Bhagavantam was there, Ram Ramangaru was there, a few of our boys were there. Swami asked, "Do you know what is the most appropriate way of addressing Swami?" In other words, Swami was asking, "Do you know what my correct address is?" Starting with Dr. Bhagavantam, Ram Ramangar and few of us, we said, "Swami, Bhagavan, Deva Deva, Sai Deva, Sai Mata," so on and so forth. Swami was not satisfied. He went round the room. He was not satisfied with the answers. He nodded his head like this. Then he asked Bhagavantam again, "Bhagavantam, do you recollect the way in which Venkatagiri Raja used to call me?" Venkatagiri Raja, if some of the older devotees will recall, Swami used to say Kuppam devotees and Venkatagiri devotees were the first devotees in this avatar. Venkatagiri Raja used to call him in a particular way. So Swami was asking, "Do you recollect how he used to call me?" And Dr. Bhagavantam was just thinking. Swami then immediately interjected. "He always used to call me as my dear Atman." It seems whenever he used to address Swami, he used to say, "My dear Atman." Brothers and sisters, we all know, for such of us who are with Swami, who have seen Swami, the Swami is a very effulgent figure, a radiant figure, always exuding ananda. His body was full of energy and he was full of ananda. He was an ananda swarupa. But when he mentioned this particular point, that he said, "My dear Atman," that is the correct address, that is the fundamental truth you should know of me. At that point of time, and subsequently 2-3 times I do remember Swami mentioning about this point in Prashantanilayam, he was much more radiant. He was, I think, Paramananda Swarupa. We could not, and now I recollect in my mind's eye that I have never seen Swami so full, so overjoyed. In other words, Swami feels so happy when someone addresses him in the correct way. So he said, "I am my dear Atman." That is the correct way. He said, "That is the way in which you should actually visualize me, in which you should pray me." Some of us would have seen in the olden days when Swami used to give interviews, some of the devotees asked him, "Swami, when you speak to us, you tell us of your innermost thoughts, you tell us of our innermost actions, some of the things which nobody knows. How is it? Do you enter me at that point of time, then see within me and then come out and then explain?" Swami said, "There is nothing like exiting and entering business. I am always there. You cannot think without me." In so many words he had told us through the years. In fact, he mentions to us in various discourses of his that there could be a fraction of a millimeter distance as between the eye and your eyelid, but insofar as you and I are concerned, that is what in one of the slides has come, you and I are one. There is no difference. In fact, there is no way in which you can say that I am different from you. So I think in the context of Samarpan, the true Aradhana to Swami would be to realize Him, to visualize Him, to pray to Him as our own Atma, as our own consciousness. Next, in the context of Samarpan, Brother Siddharth did mention a few things about Samarpan. In fact, as he was speaking, I was trying to recollect. Swami in 1975 did a summer course. It was not a conventional summer course. That summer course was done exclusively for Vrindavan students. Very few outsiders were called. In that summer course, Swami talked in detail about Samarpan, how to go about Samarpan. Swami said, Samarpan or to offer is the first step towards Sharanagati, complete Sharanagati. And in that summer course, he started by starting about the body. Patram, Pushpam, Phalam, Toyam. Swami always mentions this. And when he used to become very technical, he used to talk about verse 26 of chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita. And Swami used to say that when Krishna said Patram, Pushpam, Phalam, Toyam, he was never talking of the externalities. He was talking of your own being, parts of your own self. He started that summer course by saying, Deham nichine denduko telsa. Do you know why deham, that is body, has been given? Then Swami said, Patram is your own deham. Body is your own, your body is the leaf which you have to offer to Swami. Then Swami answered the question by saying, Paropakardam idam sariram. Paropakaram idam sariram. The body has to be used for the service of the fellow being. You know, Swami's own words, when he is residing in our own hearts as our own Atman and as our own consciousness, a service to others is actually service to Swami. So he said, the way to offer patram, that is leaf, your body, is try and be in the service of other human beings. Then next he talked about pushpam. Pushpam is the hruday pushpam. That is, the lotus of your heart should be given. How should it be given? Should it be given on a status quo basis? Swami said, no. It should be given bereft of all the Arishad Vargas. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsarya. And then the third he said, Phalam. What Phalam? What is the fruit you have to offer to Swami? In the summer course, Swami said, the Phalam should be that of your actions. Karma Phalam has to be offered to Bhagwan. Then Toyam. He said, Toyam is not the physical water which Swami was talking about. Swami said that Toyam is basically the tears which well out of your own being when you are lost in the contemplation of the Lord. Swami further asked the question, should this samarpan, should this offering be a periodic activity? Once in a month, is it okay, which we do like what we are doing in Dharmakshetra or in Shivam or elsewhere in the world? Swami said, no, it is a lifelong affair. Take for example, your own body. You will have to indulge in karma throughout your life. So use your body in the service of others. And the karma which you do day in and day out till the last breath of yours, try and offer it to Swami. That is a continuous affair. Likewise, Hridaya Pushpam, Swami said, purification is a continuous process. Your entire sadhana is to see that you get rid of your heart of all the Arishad Vargas. So it is a continuous process. Next, Toyam. He said, at least once or intermittently, if you are able to experience the ecstasy of the Lord in communion with you, that if you offer me, that is of utmost sacredness. Swami has gone on record. In fact, he has, in that summer course, I remember. Why I remember this summer course very vividly is, Swami, it was a summer course only for Vrindavan students, and I happened to be a part of Swami's entourage. I was blessed by Swami to be with him in his personal entourage. So I remember these things very, very vividly. So the point is, in the context of Mahasamadhi Day, the fact that Swami is our own Atman, our own consciousness, in the context of Samarpan, that we should actually offer our parts of our own self. That's what Professor Nanjunda, in a slightly different way, he said, offer yourself completely, without any condition, to Swami. Actually, he was meaning the entire, all the parts of our own self. Now, with these two thoughts, basic thoughts which I thought I should share with you in the context of the significance of this day, let me share a few of my experiences which I had with Bhagwan. If anybody wanted to look at a person who is a product of Swami's grace, not 100%, but 200%, it is this person whom you are seeing. It is a matter of recorded fact that Swami has given me 7 rebirths in this life. 7 rebirths, 7 times the doctors have taken me for almost death, 7 times Swami revived me. At least twice I have experienced Swami physically in an ICU in Hyderabad. I will try and play some of those experiences before you. Now, before I go on with the experiences, I think it would be worthwhile to just think over as to what are the lessons taught to us by these experiences. First and foremost, Swami's Sarvantaryami Tattvam. Sarvantaryami Tattvam means that He is divine, that He is omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent is something which gushes forth in all these experiences. As I narrate these experiences, as the previous speakers have narrated, you will find that in every experience, Swami proves, if at all confirmation was required, if at all reaffirmation was required, He provides us a clue that He is omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent. The second lesson which I personally draw is, Swami used to always converse with me in Telugu. Telugu is my mother tongue. But many times I found Swami's words difficult to understand. And you understand Swami's words only after certain afflux of time, after a year or two, when those things actually come into our own, this thing. The reason is, the frame of reference with which Swami uses these words are completely different from what we understand. Swami tells in a divine frame, in His own frame of reference, we fail to understand that frame of reference. But Swami either tells personally or through our experiences proves to us subsequently that this is what He meant. I will tell a couple of those examples which have happened with me. Then, Swami's words always come true. I can give you a few examples of our own old boys, where Swami has uttered a word. At that point of time, in our ignorance, we thought Swami was speaking out of context. But that word or words played out in the lives of those individuals. In fact, in a couple of examples, I know 20-25 years after Swami has uttered that word. Apart from this, one of the things which comes out very forcefully by my experiences is, Swami's penultimate nama in Ashtotram is Om Shri Sai Sulabha Prasannaya Namaha. Swami is easily propitiated. One of the things which comes, I'm sure it's the case with all your boys, you do a very little thing, but Swami is so ecstatic, Swami is so pleased that He gives you the fruits thereof then and there. So He is Sulabha Prasannaya Namaha. Then, most important is, Swami is a Krishna, is a very mischievous that way. In fact, in Vrindavan, in old Vrindavan, He used to play pranks. There always used to be an Abhinavabhava Sambandha, an intricate organic connection between me and Ramaramam garu. Ramaramam was the caretaker of Vrindavan. Elders like Dr. Mistry and others would recall him. Whenever He used to get upset with me, Swami used to give a peace of mind to Ramaramam. Whenever Swami was upset with Ramaramam, He used to give a piece of His mind to you. You do not know why that has happened. But I will try and place before you some of the experiences which I had in this context. These are the lessons, most important lessons which we learn from Swami. If I were to analyze my experiences, perhaps my experiences from a time and convenience perspective can be divided into 4 parts. The first, what I experienced Swami when I was in childhood. Till such time as I reached Bhagwan as a student, whatever are the experiences which I have experienced, that could be taken as part 1. Part 2 are those experiences which I have experienced as a student in Swami's college. Third, after I came out from Swami's college, what I have experienced, that could be the third part. The fourth part perhaps would be what I have experienced after Swami's Mahasamadhi. I think in these 4 parts I can relate my experiences. To the extent possible, I will try and follow this particular order. Let me begin at the beginning. My first experience with Swami is through our puja room, through our altar, through our puja room. I grew up in Guntur. It's a place in coastal Andhra. For some of you who are curious to know it, it is a place where the new capital of Andhra Pradesh is coming, Amaravati. I happened to grow in that town. There used to be an altar in our house. There used to be Satyanarayana Swami's photo in our house. There were quite a number of deities' photos, gods and goddess photos in the puja room. But in the main altar, there used to be Satyanarayana Swami's photo. It was a medium-sized photo, which used to be the main photo of worship during Satyanarayana Swami's Vratam, which we used to do once in a year in Kartik Mass. When there was a peculiarity about that Satyanarayana Swami's photo, and whenever I see any Satyanarayana Swami's photo, I'll try and find out whether that peculiarity is there. The peculiarity is, Satyanarayana Swami is in dark blue color. He has the kirit and all that. But that photograph had a peculiarity. From a distance, if you looked at that photograph, it looked as if Swami was looking very angrily at you. The way in which the eyes were shaded, the way in which the lips were shaded, from a distance, you feel that Swami is really looking at you, frowning at you angrily. And I used to have a tinge of nervousness whenever I used to see it. I used to feel very jittery. And the jitteriness continued for quite some time. And that used to be increasing whenever I used to approach the altar. Because my mother used to keep the sweetmeats down below in the place provided. So whenever you go to pick up the sweetmeats, I used to look at that photo and feel a little jittery. And I used to feel that he's really looking at me in a very angry way. This continued for long. In my childish this thing, one of the things I did was, though I was feeling jittery and sort of ill at ease, I never asked either my parents or the elders in the house as to the correctness of that supposition. Curiosity got the better of me one day. I took the help of a stool, went near the photograph, saw the photograph at close quarters. And lo and behold, actually the lips of Swami, because of the way in which they were shaded, they were actually looking as if he was frowning. What I thought was Ugra Narasimha Rupa was in fact Tirumandahasam. It is like, how should I put it, the statue of Krishna which is there on top of this hillock. If you see the Krishna statue there, Krishna is smiling a little bit in Tirumandahasam. That is the actual thing, but because of the shade and all, we used to shade, the way in which it was shaded and the eyes shading, I used to think that it was this thing. Few months thereafter, after this incident, Swami gave me the first interview. Me and my mother. My mother, prior to that, for more than a couple of years, she had a lot of blessings of Swami. Swami has given us a number of interviews. You know how Swami introduced himself to me? I used to have a peculiar habit whenever I used to go to the altar. I used to close my eyes like this. When puja was being done, as a small child, I used to be standing in the front, parents behind, and the others behind. And I used to close my eyes like this, do like this, and I used to open my eyes like this. The idea was, it was my childish ignorance perhaps, that since Satyanarayana Swami puja, since puja is being offered, Satyanarayana Swami should be propitiated, at least he must be laughing at that time. So I used to look like that. The moment Swami saw me in the interview room, my mother and myself were standing. The first thing Swami does is, he stands like this. He does like this. It was electrifying. And then Swami says in Telugu, Kopanto kadra, premato chustunnaru Swami. Swami is not looking at you angrily. He is looking at you lovingly. And mind you, if you analyze very closely, Swami has he is divine. Swami's first name, as given by his parents, was Satyanarayana. He used to be called Satyanarayana Raju. Swami didn't say about Satyanarayana, he said, Swami is looking at you lovingly, not angrily. This was the first confirmation. In fact, this is the second confirmation which Swami gave me, because 2 months before that, for Shivaratri of 1969, 2 days before Shivaratri, I had the first darshan of Swami. The moment Swami came out of the interview room, one of the first thought as a child was, it hit me like a thud. Swami those days used to have pan, and some of the reddishness used to palm off on his on his lips. The lips were exactly the lips which I have seen in Satyanarayana Swami's photo when I saw it at close quarters. So this is a second confirmation, if at all it is required. And I must say at this juncture, devotees fall under two categories. For some of the devotees, it is love at first sight, it is faith at first sight. You see Swami, you develop faith, it is just automatic. I happen to belong to the first category. There are certain others like my cousins and others who had to go through a lot of testing Swami, so to say, and accept Swami. But I belong to the first category. This was the first introduction Swami gave me. My mother was looking askance. She was wonderstruck. What is Swami telling about this fellow, which I do not know? Then, after this Swami tells, in Telugu he tells me, you need not do puja the way in which you are doing. He tells me in the interview room, you need not do puja the way in which you are doing. My mother was wondering, what puja is this fellow doing without me knowing it? Actually, I had a very peculiar habit as a child. I used to take some of the smaller photographs from the altar and the puja room, create my own small puja room in one of the pathways in the house. It was a typical townhouse where at the center house is there. There is a front yard and a backyard, and then there are pathways on either side so that if somebody comes from the front yard, they need not enter the house, they can go to the backyard just like that. So in one of these pathways, I used to clean it nicely all by myself, nobody told me, and I used to take the smaller photographs, put it against the wall there, construct walls with loose bricks, put some asbestos sheet or kadapa slab and do aarti. I mean, two things I used to do. I used to have great joy in lighting the agarbattis and doing the camphor aarti. Swami was actually mentioning that. You need not do puja the way in which you are doing. The reason was, a few months before this, for the last time when I did this, this I used to do when my parents were not around in the house. There was a cyclonic storm and some of the photographs got wet and I had to actually retrieve them and put it in the puja room. My mother was looking at me, looking at Swami in a very surprising way. Then Swami explained, whatever I have told you, Swami explained to her in Telugu. This fellow is in the habit of doing this. This is what I am telling him. He need not do puja the way in which he is doing. So this is the first introduction to Swami. Then the most major happening, if at all I have to recall about my experience with Swami, is Swami's assurance of protection. Somewhere in 1970, in one of the interviews, first I had the darshan of Bhagwan in 1969, and 1974 I joined Swami's college. 69 to 74, these 5 or 6 years, if some of the older devotees recall, that was the period when Swami was giving maximum interviews. In fact, that was the period of interviews during Swami's avatarhood, where he covered lakhs and lakhs of devotees. So during that 5 or 6 years, Swami used to call me for interview in the many times, on all the days on for which I was there, and many times, or most of the times, morning and evening. In one of the interviews, one day evening, he told me in Telugu, "Repu rara rakshaistam. Come tomorrow, I will give raksha." Raksha means protection. So next day morning we sat. Swami came out, picked up the people for interview. Those days 2 batches of interviews he used to call. He came towards me. He called the person on my right. He called the person on my left. He didn't call me. He went inside. Finished the first interview. And you know, I mean, all the old boys would be knowing, when Swami used to finish the interview after the first batch, Swami used to stand facing the main Gopuram gate. He used to stand there on the doormat, which is opposite the door, just in front of the door which Swami uses for entering the Simhasan. Swami used to stand there and used to guide people outside. So I was sitting against a neem tree, which was at that time it was all sand, and this neem tree is in the place where now Swami's bell is rung when aarti is done. Around that place, towards the gent side, there used to be a huge neem tree. If you sit against that neem tree, you could see Swami exactly. The moment he comes out, you are just in Swami's line of vision. So Swami said like this. So I went, sat in the last row. As the last person for the second batch interview. Then Swami called all the second batch entry. That was the last batch. So I was the last person to enter. If you are the last person to enter into your room, you will be the first person whom Swami will encounter when he closes the door and turns around. So he looked at me. He said, "Yavaru pilcharu? Who called you?" I said, "Swami, you called me." "Enduku vachavu? Why did you come?" See, actually, subsequently I heard and from many devotees and even through Swami, Swami at the divine level knows everything. But at a human level, he will ensure that in some cases, depending upon one's karma, he makes it a point that we should ask Swami what we require in our life. So perhaps I require protection. So I told Swami, "Swami, you only," in Telugu I told him, "Swami, you called me yesterday and told me that you will give me protection. That is why I have come." These are the words which I said. The moment I said this, Swami, this year, he, with his left hand, he caught hold of my right ear. He pulled me to him thrice. All the three times, my forehead touched Swami's forehead with a little bit of hair. Three times he pulled me towards him. And while he was doing that, he tells me in Telugu, "Ippude kadra, jivitantam rakshistan. Not for now, ra, I will give you raksha for a lifetime." And brothers and sisters, from that day in 1970, 46 years, my life has been a continuous saga of Swami saving me. You take any aspect of your life, personal, professional, family-wise, financial, social, you name it, in every respect Swami saves you. And I'll try and narrate a few of those experiences with you. And at this juncture, I cannot but echo what Dr. Misri or Misri Saab always mentions. Many times we travel in the car from the city to Dharmakshetra. At least once in every trip, he says, "Bhaskar, if not for Swami, I don't know what my life would have been. Swami's hand is visible at every major step in my life. Without Swami, I cannot think what my life would have been." In a way, what Misri Saab says not only holds good for him, not only holds good for us, but it holds good for everybody. It holds good for everybody. So the point I am trying to say is, Swami's protection, he has made me ask that question, perhaps knowing that I require that protection for a lifetime due to my own karmas in the past. Does that mean that Swami has not protected us earlier? The answer is no. Swami has been protecting each and every one of right through our lives. Only it is due to Swami's grace that some of us are consciously aware of the fact that Swami has played a part in this aspect of your life. Now, let me mention one or two instances of Swami's protection before I join Swami's college. Let me give you an episode. Swami also protects you from going into certain bad ways. In intermediate, final year exam, in the name of studying late in the night, my friend used to come, both of us used to go on cycles to a town center, have a cup of tea, and come back for studying or whatever. The friend who was accompanying me was a compulsive smoker and a compulsive pan eater. After tea, he used to force me every day to have cigarette. Pan anyway, I never used to have. 2-3 days I resisted. The third day I succumbed. Just that smoke, I never used to like that smoke. I used to just take a puff or two and then throw it away. But that I did 2-3 times. Immediately after that we went to Parthi. My mother and I are called for interview. The first thing he looks at me and says, "Poga, poga." Poga in Telugu means smoke. My mother by this time has reconciled that Swami every time tells something about Bhaskar which she doesn't know. Then my mother was asking, then Swami is also mischievous, so ask him. I didn't answer anything, I just put my head down. Then Swami narrated what I told you. This fellow in the name of late studies, he is going, his friend has forced him, Okay, his friend has forced him, why should he succumb to it? So this was the end of smoking. The point I am trying to tell you is, when Swami takes the protective gear, he is there in every aspect of one's life. That is a limited point. Then on education front, I think I wrote in the Vidyaleka about my experience. In those days, whenever we used to go to Swami, especially my father and myself, father used to be in the habit of staying for months on end. In fact, I remember on one such sojourn, I have come to Dharmakshetra in 71 or so, where this structure was there, and Atma Ramayana was there on top in the side ceiling. So we used to overstay for months together. See, one of those, for the intermediate final year, I was a BIPC student. In fact, Professor Anil Kumar was our botany lecturer at that time. The final exams were announced. It was March time. The final exams were announced. And you know, for science students, first you have to complete the record work. The practicals will be there. And thereafter the theory exams, written examination. So my mother was trying to frantically call us. But those were the days of trunk calls. Prashanthi Nilayam had only one telephone in the postmaster's room. If somebody wants to make a call, inward call, a particular person, PP call has to be made. She was frantically trying. She could not succeed. So anyway, after overstaying, Swami one day told us, why are you not going home? You go home. Why are you staying for months on end? So we took Swami's blessings and went. By the time I went, the last date for submission of the botany record was over. And I was crestfallen, because if you miss that year examination is gone and you have wasted 1 year. But my mother told, one of your friends came on his own. He took the record, your botany record. I don't know what has happened. So Professor Anil Kumar was our botany lecturer. We went to the college and found that my friend, I didn't ever ask him anything. He on his own completed one fourth of the record has to become. He completed, gave it and submitted it within time. And the best part of it is, the next day you go to find out the marks, because normally the marks were given before the final examination. They said that I happened to have the highest mark. After the exams were over, went to Swami. Swami comes straight on me for the darshan. After coming from the ladies, he comes straight on me, looks at me and says, Evaindra, botany record, he says. What happened to your botany record? The point is, even on education front, the point I'm trying to tell you is, there is no limit to Swami's grace. The way in which he operates through you is something which no philosopher, no poet can express. Then, our exams were over, results were out, I topped the university. Then, the question of doing what next. My parents were of the opinion that I should do medical course, medicine. I said, I am not going to do it, because I cannot do it. I am a person who, if I see blood, I am just put off, and I cannot see other person's suffering, I won't do it. So as usual, then we said, let us go to Swami. Went to Swami. Swami calls us for interview, mother and myself. The very first thing he says, this fellow's heart is weak. He gave me an indication there, in 1974, this fellow's heart is weak. Doctor, medicine is not for him. He looks at me and says, Are Nura, you come, I will give you seat, do BCom in my college. This is how I joined. So the point is, Swami guides you even in the context of taking whatever line of preference you want to take. So that is how Swami saved me and took me into his fold. Now, after coming into Vrindavan, 1974 I joined. And the way in which we've spent, you have seen a few of these photographs earlier also. There was a scrolling which went. The connection between Swami and the students are something which nobody can say. And now in retrospect I feel, for Swami's 50th birthday, some of us, all the boys who were there in Vrindavan at that point of time, we told Swami, Swami, for your 50th birthday, 1975 was Swami's 50th birthday, Second World Conference was to occur. So we told Swami, we would like to have an offering at your lotus feet. Swami said, okay. Then we told him, Swami, we would like to write essays, publish it as a book, and offer it at your lotus feet. Swami, those days, for 9 months in a year, For 9 months in a year, he used to stay in Vrindavan, and only during festivals, for festivals he used to go. So, we came out with a book, Hruday Vrindavan. That is the name of the, that was the title of that, Hruday Vrindavan. The next day, a few of us wrote about 20 titles and showed it to Swami. Swami picked up over 15 or 16 and said, "E Chayendra, on this you write the articles." Then, the topic which Swami gave me was, "The days of my youth, the days of my glory." He asked me to write on that topic, "The days of my youth, the days of my glory." And for that starting of that article, I wrote a poem, which even now as I think of that poem, I feel that it holds good for all of us for all times to come. Not only for the students, but for all the devotees. The poem runs something like this. In the daylight of His splendorous glory, in the daylight of His splendorous glory, His means Swami's, in the daylight of His splendorous glory, in the esoteric night of His inscrutable reality, in the mid-hanging twilight of His serene beautitude, in the pulsating throb of His listful laugh, and in the green foliage of His melodious symphony, we means the students, we dance in ecstatic joy to the tune of His divine melody. It is not hyperbolic. Based on my own experiences for that one and a half year, I wrote that. And now as I sit and think, and as I ruminate, in the run-up to this program, one of the thoughts I was thinking was, how do I summarize my student life? I think there is no better way to summarize than this particular thing. I just would like to repeat it. And I think Swami has made us live every word of what I have said. And the proof of that came when Swami went 1 month before birthday celebrations to Puttaparthi. Before going, the book was ready, we gave the book to him. Swami opened a few pages here and there, a few of us were there on. He said, then he opened my this thing. Bhaga Rastivara, he said. Bhaga Rastivara means you wrote well. So the poem is, and I mark my words, these things I am sure if you ruminate over, this would hold good universally for all our students. The poem, I'll just repeat it for the sake of repetition, and then tell the other, a few of my other experience. In the daylight of His splendorous glory, in the esoteric night of His inscrutable reality, in the mid-hanging twilight of His serene beautitude, in the pulsating throb of His listful laugh, and in the green foliage of His melodious symphony, we dance in ecstatic joy to the tune of His divine melody. This is absolutely true. If only it will be true for all the devotees, if only you were to close your eyes and ruminate upon. Then, the number of experiences which we had, when we are with Swami, I'm sure all the old students would be witnesses to that. Many times Swami, while you are sitting like this, suddenly you with Swami you should be very careful. Every thought, you should be very careful, because suddenly the mind pops up with something and Swami suddenly asks you a question. Arey, what is this? Why are you asking me this question? One day I made a foolish thought came to me. Swami went outside in Vrindavan, in the Sai Ram shed. He went for darshan in the morning. There was one person on the wheelchair. He was trying to frantically catch Swami's attention, and from his facial features you could make out that he was really sort of he's completely at odd with himself, and he was trying to desperately catch Swami's attention. Swami didn't even look at him. He just came, walked off. At that point of time, a thought came to me. I was standing inside Vrindavan, now the Trai Vrindavan gate, somewhere there. Why is it not Swami looking at him? At least you could have looked at him. That fellow is so frantically this thing. Swami came to me straight on. Nikem telsra karma siddhantam gurinchi, he said. Nikem telsra karma siddhantam gurinchi. What do you know about the karma theory? Subsequently, I heard so many stories about the gentleman. I don't want to say. But the limited point is that when you are with Swami, you should be very careful. It has happened to be innumerable number of times. Suddenly Swami says, why are you asking me that question? Even as the thought is progressing in your mind. So you need to be that much more careful. And now I realize, and even that time we realized, but the realization dawns on you very deeply now, that Swami those days used to give so many chances. For instance, I looking after Gokulam or Agro, or some boys looking after the birds. Those days Swami used to actually take rabbits, peacocks, different types of birds. And Swami used to give chances to these students. And Swami has gone on record, all these things I am doing so that I can give you chances. In Gokulam, Swami used to come day in and day out. He need not have come. It is only to give us chances to be with him that he has done what he has done. Then a couple of examples for about Swami's omnipresence. One day, in fact, I think towards the later part of the talk, in case time permits, a couple of letters among the letters which Swami has written, I have put it on the on the display. Time permitting, I will try and tell a few things which actually Swami told, which is also of use in the context of Samarpan. Later on, I will try and put it. Swami's omnipresence. One day I went from the hostel around 3:34, around 4 o'clock time, 3:45. I went from hostel to Vrindavan, to the Gokulam. Those days, Vrindavan was really completely of green foliage. In fact, the beauty of Vrindavan used to be, there used to be flame of the forest trees all across. From the pathway to the main entrance of Trayi, there used to be those huge flame of the forest trees. And in full bloom, it looked as if Swami was just playing hide and seek. He used to come out of that trunk and this trunk. So it used to be like idyllic Vrindavan. The Vrindavan nowadays is slightly different in that way. So I went from hostel to Gokulam. As the moment I reached, and that time Gokulam was behind Swami's Trayi. Swami's Trayi was not there. Swami's old palace, that was called Mohan Palace. Swami actually acquired it from a mica mine owner of Nellore, Mohan Rao. He was a great devotee of Swami. I went to Gokulam. Somebody tapped me and said, Swami is calling you. Those days old boys may recollect. There is a door which you can enter Swami's upstairs from behind, from the backyard. There is a wooden, used to be a wooden staircase. So I went up. There is an L-shaped corridor upstairs. The moment you enter, Swami is on the right-hand side, sitting in the dining hall on a swivel chair. And Swami's habit was, he used to sit in such a position that he would be able to see the boys, whoever are standing there. So I went up. Swami was looking at me. I went up. Ekanin Chostanara, he said. Where are you coming from? I said, Swami, I'm coming from Gokulam. Atlagadra, not that way. Where did you come from? I said, Swami, I came from hostel. Atlagadra, ela vachavo cheppu. You explain how you have come. By that time, I was seeing the people's faces around. I distinctly remember that time, Sudarshan, Radha Krishna was there. Tarun was there. Mrs. Ratanlal was there. I could make out from their faces that something was happening, which I didn't know. Then Swami, I said, I came from hostel. Atlakadra, not that way. You explain how you came from hostel. So then I explained, Swami, I came out of the hostel room, climbed down the two staircases, came to the entrance of the hostel and went to this thing. No, akkada em chesavu nu cheppu. What have you done during that time? You tell me. I said, Swami, I just walked on this thing, crossed Principal Narendra's room, and then came to the side gate. Then he stopped me. Did I not tell you that he is entering through the side gate? It seems the story is, there was some talk of omnipresence, of Swami's omnipresence at that point of time. If you recall, during that time Swami has saved one elderly couple when they were traveling in a railway compartment. Fire broke out because of a short circuit in the fan. Swami went there as an electrician and actually saved them. In that context, there was some discussion about Swami's presence. Then Swami said, it seems, Mirila Ankuntarapa, you think that Swami is in the dining hall, that he doesn't know anything. For instance, Bhaskar has just started from his hostel room. He has came to the first floor, came to the second floor. He walked on the cement path. He crossed Narendra's room. In other words, Swami was giving running commentary as I was walking towards, that he has crossed the porch, he has gone past the first mango tree, second mango tree, third mango tree, entered Gokulam, you go and call that fellow. So the point which Swami proved was that he is omnipresent, that he knows everything on real time. But this is the external story. The internal story is something different. This is, see, you know, Swami, when he used to come to hostel, he used to take one matchstick and light all the five wicks. With one act, Swami achieves multiple objectives. For them and for all of us, it was a lesson that Swami was omnipresent and omniscient. But the other lesson was, Swami asked, looking at me very lovingly, he served some tiffin and snacks and asked me to eat. And he was looking at me very intensely and very lovingly. I also didn't understand why Swami was doing the way in which he was doing. Abu bin Adam Gurinchi Telsara, he said. Abu bin Adam Gurinchi Telsara. Do you know about Abu bin Adam? Abu bin Adam is a story where he was a very pious man. He was doing the service of others very assiduously. One day an eagle came to him, shown him a golden diary, and shown him a list of those people who love God. Those people who love God. And in that list it seems Abu bin Adam's name was not there. But Abu bin Adam told that this thing, please tell God that I love the fellow human beings very much. And also I love the Lord very much. Tell him that. So next day the same eagle comes, the same angel comes, shows him the list of those whom God loves. And there, in that list, Abu bin Adam was the first. Next, after he completes the story in Telugu, he tells me, Are Nuvera first. He tells, you are first in Swami's list. The reason is, a few months earlier, 6 months earlier, Swami wrote to me a letter. And he told me a particular way of doing a sadhana, which is not there in this, but asked me to do a particular way of sadhana. And I thought that since Swami has so lovingly told me like that in a written communication, I should do that. I was doing it really as a yajna for those 6 months. So actually Swami was giving confirmation to me that you have been doing that very assiduously, therefore your name is in the list of those people whom Swami loves as the first. And while going out, you know, when Swami, even if he's in among hundreds of people, if he wants to tell something to you, he will tell in a way which others do not understand, which others even cannot listen, and only you can listen. While going out, he went out brushing against me and said, Sadhana Bhaga Sagutundra. Sadhana is going very well. These are the words which he said. The point I am trying to prove is, this is the way Swami achieves multiple objectives by a single act of his. In that particular experience, Swami finished telling everybody that he is omniscient and omnipresent, that he knows everything on a real-time basis, and then he is also confirming to me that yes, indeed, you are doing whatever is to be done. Therefore, this is what is a confirmation which I want. This is insofar as the one of the experiences is concerned. Perhaps the most other significant experience is how Swami helped in the context of education. I think I very briefly told this when Professor Nanjundayar's this thing was there. Professor Nanjundayar gave his talk, I was just mentioning this particular incident because I thought this was something which was very close to Professor Nanjundayar and Hanumantappa those days. The experience is like this. Early morning, 3:30, normally we used to get up those days, do the milking of the cows. By 6:30, you finish off the work, then do your other duties. By 7:30, you are ready. By the time Swami comes out, you are ready for Swami. That time, my MCOM third semester exams were on. Early morning, the moment I got up at 3:30, Ramaramangaru came to me and said, Bhaskar, there was rain last night. There was rain last night. Why don't you go and till the land? We used to grow guinea grass. Those days, Swami, because of insistence of Ramaramangaru, he acquired quite a bit of land across, around Vrindavan, around 60-65 acres of land Swami used to. We used to cultivate those days. Swami Ramaraman Garu said, Bhaskar, it has rained, why don't you go and till the land? I knew from, I came out and saw the actually rain was not that much. Unless the rain is sufficient enough, at least 2-3 inches the land gets wet, you cannot do the cultivator. It's very difficult to till the land. But I didn't have the heart to tell him, because if you tell him, he's a person who gets upset. He becomes blood red in his eyes and he goes upset. So I said, let me not upset this gentleman. Though I had the exam, I didn't have the heart to tell him. So I took the tractor after the morning work. Around 6:30 I went, started tilling the land. Because it was very hard, it took me quite a bit of time. It was around 10:30, around 11-ish. By the time I finished around 4 acres of land. Then somebody comes running to me and says, Swami is calling you. So I ran, finished my bath, went up. And while going up, in Vrindavan, there is a staircase room where boys used to stand there. While running up, I saw Shivaram, one of my classmates there. I know that it was a costing exam, but I didn't know whether it was costing one or two. I just asked him, and mind you, I was under the impression that I can do the reading that day morning, but I could not do. I asked him on my way up, I ran up because I was already late. What is the exam? He said, costing two. So I went up. Swami, the moment he looked at Ramaraman Garu was there, he said, Mi Tata means your grandfather. He does all such things only. Why are you tilling the land till this time? Your exam is at 1 o'clock, he said. Swami Paraleda. Enti exam ivala. What is the exam today? In my hurry, in Telugu, I said, Swami, costing two anta. It seems it is costing two. Swami was visibly upset. He said, what do you mean? Nigentra, exam kuda enta telida? Swami, em parale Swami. Tinu, he said, he served some food, said, eat. We took food, take namaskar. And then he said, you take Mrs. Ratnalal's car and go. So we took Mrs. Ratnalal's car. And mind you, what I tell you is exactly what has happened. Sitting in the car, I was driving, and I was asking, bhai, please tell me what are the main chapters in that exam, in that paper. My friends, they were telling, this is a chapter. So, as and when the chapter came, because we were students at that point, I used to say, okay, if this is the came, those days the pattern of exam used to be one theory question and one problem used to be there in every question. So I said, probably this sort of a theory question will come in this chapter, and this could be the probable sum which may come. Then we went on like that. A few chapters, mind you, we were just discussing like that. And in a few chapters, I said, probably no question will come like this. Finished off. Went to Central College, parked the car, went inside, took the exam sheet. You may or may not believe, the examination paper was exactly in the form in which we discussed. Somebody may say that it is the hard work of this thing, but that is Swami's grace for you. And Swami's grace for you becomes all the more evident 20-25 years after, when Professor O.R. Krishnaswamy was the head of the Department of Commerce when we were the students. He met me somewhere in 1990s. I lost touch with him after I came out of the college. He meets me in Prashantinilayam. He looks at me. He was a very a great soul. He looked at me. He embraced me. Cried. He was in tears like if I said, sir, what are you doing there? Then he said, Bhaskar, you know what? The record which you hold for the highest marks in all the subjects, in all the 4 semesters of MCOM, is still a record in Bangalore University. Now, somebody may say that you have done very well because of your this thing, but this is what Swami's grace is. Swami's grace sees you through and through and through. Now, let me give you a couple of my own experiences of how difficult it is to understand Swami. In Telugu, if he speaks also, it is very difficult. My maternal uncle, my mother's younger brother, met with a serious accident. He was fatally ill. He had a brain hemorrhage, and he was in a serious condition in hospital. This was in 68 end. My mother went to Swami. Swami gave her interview, gave her prasad, అండ్ టోల్డ్ ఏం పర్వాలేదు వాడు నా దగ్గరికి వస్తాడు ఏమి పర్వాలేదు నాట్ టు వరీ హీ విల్ కమ్ టు మీ వాట్ స్వామి సెడ్ వాజ్ హీ విల్ కమ్ టు మీ సో మదర్ కేమ్ గేవ్ ది ప్రసాద్ వీ ఆర్ ఆల్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ బట్ ఆఫ్టర్ 45 డేస్ హీ పాస్డ్ అవే దెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ ది సెరిమనీస్ వేర్ ఓవర్ అవర్ ఎంటైర్ ఫ్యామిలీ ఇంక్లూడింగ్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ వెంట్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్స్ ఫ్యామిలీ అండ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ వెంట్ ద ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ హీ సా గ్రాండ్ పేరెంట్స్ అండ్ మై మదర్ చెప్తేనే ఐ టోల్డ్ యూ హీ విల్ కమ్ టు మీ హీ హాస్ కమ్ టు మీ హీ ఈస్ హ్యాపీ See, what do we understand in a human way? That is why I said frame of reference is completely different. What do you understand when Swami, somebody is not well, you think that he will, when Swami says he will come to me, you think that he will physically get okay, and then he will go physically to Swami, take Swami's blessings. That is what you think. But the way in which Swami said was, he will come to me, and he has come to me indeed. This is the way. Then, another incident to tell you how difficult it is to understand Swami's words. In fact, he was one of our old students. He is Ramakoteshwar Rao. He is a lawyer by upbringing. He and me were doing Gokulam work. During those days, Swami asked me in the first year of MCOM to start Gokulam on the backside of the college. In fact, there is one photograph here where we were garlanding Swami at the inauguration of that particular Gokulam. From that Gokulam, I was going on a cycle towards from the college to Vrindavan. Swami was there in Vrindavan. Ramakoteshwar was my pillion rider. He was behind me. The moment I turned the cycle on the road, I saw all the devotees standing on the road, turning towards Belthuru side, towards college side, and doing namaskar. Then I knew instantly that Swami was actually somewhere behind coming in the car, because those days Swami used to go for a drive. I asked Ramakoteshwar, see, all the devotees are looking this side, they are all attentive, I think Swami is coming, just have a look behind. He looked at behind and he said, Kompa munchesavaya, Are bhai, you have really made my life miserable. Something to that effect in Telugu he said, Swami is actually coming in the car. Then we are in a dilemma. Swami, those days, if we get down and if he sees us with the other devotee, Swami used to not be very pleased. So I said, the best way is, I said, Ramakoteshwar, sit tight. Let me cycle as fast as I can. Let us go back to Vrindavan. So we went to, we cycled very fast, but as luck would have it, Swami's car overtook us. Swami, it seems, made some comment. Radha was driving the car. Radha told me, Bhaskar Swami gurinchi adugutunnara, subsequently he told me. Then, as luck would have it, Swami went towards, beyond that railway gate, towards Alambic Grass, towards Whitefield, and we went in, had refreshed, freshened ourselves and went to inside the mandir, in old Vrindavan palace. Swami came, it was in the safe room. He looked at me. Yentra, workers tho tirugutunnao. What is this? You are moving around with workers. He was a student. Then I told Swami, I'm a student. I said, Swami is not a worker, he's a student. 20 years thereafter, what is the thought which I have? Swami, I don't know why he is mentioning, out of context he is saying worker. Mind you, he is a landlord. He is a well-to-do person. He is a lawyer also. He need not do anything. But yet he has the urge in him to do some industry work, so he has set up an SME unit, small and medium enterprise unit. At that time it was a peak electricity crisis in Guntur. Labor was not available. Because of lack of water and electricity, all the labor had gone. Nobody was available. And this poor fellow was stuck up with that SME. For 3 years, he was struggling alone. And one day when I finished my college and went back, he told me, Bhaskar, I have set up a unit, why don't you come with me? We went. Only one lone fellow opened the door, almost in ramshackle this thing. It was only working at 40 or 30% capacity. And for the next two hours, I saw Ramakoteshwar working along with that lone labor, for toiling hard to do whatever work has been done. It was a cardboard manufacturing unit. Then Ramakoteshwar tells me, Bhaskar, you remember, when Swami used the word worker, you and I thought, what is it Swami is mentioning, that though I am a student, this thing, actually I don't need to do this, but this is what Swami meant when he said, worker to tirugutuna entra. I have been a worker for the last 4 to 5 years, Bhaskar. Believe me, this is what it is. So the point is, what Swami told in a very casual manner, this is what has happened. So much for some of these experiences as a student. Subsequently, coming out of the student, I think the most important experience is that of my ill health. As I told you, from that day to this day, even to this day as I stand in front of you, my life has been a continuous saga of Swami's protection. You name it, all the cardiac complaints which a human being can have, I had. In 2002, I had a massive heart attack. After the initial treatment, I told the doctors, I will go to Hyderabad because my cousins are there. I went to Hyderabad. In the flight, I collapsed. How I got revived in the flight is also a miracle in itself. But subsequently, they did the angioplasty, and then they found that the heart was very weak, and then I developed series of complications. I got pneumonia, I got arrhythmia, all sorts of complaints. Doctors, I was in the ICU for quite long. And doctors were actually, I didn't know all these things. I was just lying in the bed. Doctors were trying to find out, he has been stabilized, how to take care of his long-term treatment. What is it that has to be done for his long-term treatment? I was lying in the hospital bed in an ICU in a private hospital in Hyderabad. One day in the afternoon, sometime around 3-4 o'clock. Swami, in fact, nobody was there in this thing. It was a 8-bed ICU. Myself and another patient were there. Only two of us were there. And I was in the afternoon, you just slightly tend to doze off. You just, not sleeping, but you tend to doze off. There was a tap with these three fingers on my right thigh, near the groin. That was the place through which they were doing the overdrive pacing for the last 2 days to me. I woke up with a start. Normally what happens in an ICU, when you are in an ICU, every 5 minutes some nurse or the other comes and pokes you for that blood and this blood or whatever. So I thought it was one of those nurses. So three times it was a tap on your right thigh near the groin. I woke up with a start. I looked around. Nobody was there. The duty doctor was sitting somewhere there. And by your own experience, you immediately knew that it was Swami. Then you may ask me, how do you know that it is Swami? The smell of vibhuti, and I do not know if the old students remember, kasturi smell used to come. When Swami was around, this is our experience as old students, kasturi smell used to come when Swami used to be there. Kasturi smell came. So, and I knew instantly that it was Bhagwan, Swami. What do? You just go cry your heart out. The next day morning, around 11 o'clock, similar tap, three times, on this left shoulder. The same day evening, two things happened. The overdrive pacing which they were doing through my right thigh, to my right groin, they removed it, and the super specialist, somebody they had asked, and they said, sir, we have finally decided that you will implant an AACD in exactly the same place where Swami has tapped. So, and even on the second day, the same way Swami's vibhuti smell and kasturi smell comes. And then, one of my cousin's son was studying in Vrindavan at BCom final year, and Swami told him, Bhaskar is out of danger, everything shall be okay after that particular incident. This is just to tell you that Swami takes care of you. Why he has done what he has done, only the Lord knows. So therefore, this is the way in which Swami actually saves us. If you go on, there is no end to Swami's experiences. On this Mahasamadhi day, on this day, if we were to do true aradhana, I think the true aradhana to Swami is that whenever we close our eyes, either for bhajan here or in meditation or for puja room, the most important way is to visualize him in his correct address, namely that he is our own Atman. And true samarpan is that on a continuous basis all through our life, patram pushpam phalam toyam, we offer it to Swami on a continuous basis. I only pray that Swami gives us the strength to do this complete offering to Swami on a consistent basis throughout our life, so that we really actually realize Swami and we continue to be blessed by Swami. Jai Sai Ram.
Listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
Thank you. त्याची ख्याती काय सांगू, त्याची ख्याती काय सांगू, त्याची ख्याती काय सांगू, ओ माझे माहेर पंढरी, माझे माहेर, माझे माहेर, माझे माहेर पंढरी, आहे विवरी चातिरी. माझी बहीण चंद्रभागा, माझी बहीण चंद्रभागा,
जय जय राम कृष्ण हरि,
जय जय राम कृष्ण हरि,
जय जय राम.